Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother,
oh,
what's up?
This is a Cuban party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find. Don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss
here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Singer, songwriter, and record producer in the Motown era. And in the 60s, he did sessions and later became a solo artist with a string of hits, earning him the nickname Prince of Motown and Prince of Soul. And 50 years after the 1971 release of the song What's Going On, recorded in Hitsville, USA, sadly, it's just as poignant today as it was then. The words speak of the turmoil in the world, and there's still so much every day. In 2003, it was one of the 50 recordings chosen that year by the Library of Congress to be added to the National Recording Registry. What's Going On was ranked number 6 on Rolling Stone magazine's 2003 list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. The album is Gaye's highest ranking entry on the list, as well as several other publications' lists. In a revised 2020 list, this time voted on by musicians instead of music critics, the album moved up to the top spot, replacing the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Despite its successful comeback in the early 1980s, Gaye struggled badly with substance abuse and bouts of depression that had plagued him for most of his life. After his last tour, he moved in with his parents. There, he and his father fell into a pattern of violent fights and quarrels that recalled conflicts that had haunted the family for decades. On April 1, 1984, Marvin Gaye Sr. shot and killed his son, Marvin Gaye Jr., after a physical altercation. The father claimed he acted in self-defense, but was later convicted of involuntary manslaughter. 3 years after his death, in his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I figured with it being the 50th anniversary of that song, it was a good night to play it. But one is not even out of play, Motown 7. So again, I'm a team of Voices Radio, and we're a radio/writing group that hangs out at allpoetry.com, a huge site to write poetry. And we have a chat group there, and if you're a member, knock on the door and come hang with us. If you're not, you can join allpoetry.com for free, and you'll find us on the tab marked Groups, a team of voices. To call in and participate, you just dial 1-646-668-2837. And I don't know if they'll try to make an appearance because both Hatter and AP are dealing with some really heavy stuff right now. So I'm not sure. So if you could send some well wishes on in the air towards those guys, that would be great. In the meantime, Lady A, the Queen of Canada, is here. And hey, sis.
Hey, girly. How are you?
Hanging in there. How about you?
Me too.
Yeah, what else can we do, right? And we have like 15 or 16 poems for assignment night. Can't wait to see what's going on with those. So let me open up some of these lines. I have Stephen and Kay from A Poetic Slice of Life. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb.
Hello.
Hi,
hey,
glad you're here. And right behind them, we have Mr. Dave Prophet. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. Hi, Lady A.
Hey.
Glad you're here. And then right behind Dave is Wayne Gent. Welcome to the show,
Wayne. What's up, guys?
Really awesome new profile pic, Dave. Looks like getting ready for a hot date.
He said Dave, but I got to play lawyer tomorrow. Tomorrow's my court date, so I thought I'd dress up like a lawyer and look like a lawyer. So it's
my you kind of do, so, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's my
so,
lawyer
you know,
look.
That's your lawyer look.
Yeah, well, it suits you, Wayne. It's a great shot.
You're going to eat me alive.
Nah, you'll be good. You'll knock them dead.
Yeah, we'll see.
So let's see. We got to get the dynamic duo going because they have to prepare for their show tonight. And after that, I got to get Dave on because he's running on empty. He needs some sleep. So without further ado, let's get this show on the road. This is the assignment show, and how this went down. I made up a challenge for each person individually. I hand chose a photo for them, and then I gave them hand chosen crayons, a line from a song, as well as a word bank, and they had to use their photo and then use at least two of the three, all three, if, you know, if the whim struck. And there's a variety of pictures, which should bring us a variety of topics and always brings us tons of brilliance. No pressure, but I am going to start with Kay, because 9.5 times out of 10, she is the first person to choose her prompts on all my shows. And because of that, she was the first person that I put on the board. And at first glance, you know, you see flowers and stuff, and it's like, but then when you pay attention and see, I can't wait to see what kind of brilliance she brought us this week. So without further ado, Kay, take us away, please.
So, yeah, okay. I call it the Chambers of Man's Ignorance. Cinnamon's linen, mulberry in the night of brush, Kills of the spades, shoaled and rust, crimson platinum's a greenery of forestation, innocent smile to blush forgetfulness, Venus de Milo quickening heart, save when chiffon, draping her legs upon moonlight stems, sheepishly, conscience-stricken, dragged upon lacerations, wildflowers not to harvest, stately courtyards, albatross of sentiments of sculptured porcelain walls, gauntlets of vanquishment, held with artifacts of reason, superseding the awning, sweltering smoke and mirrors, harp strings a trampoline, peddling the percussionist of mindfulness, brooding silently upon the birdcage of flesh, whiskey, the pure and transpierce. And bomb.
Okay, you know something? I think it was just last week that there was a line that I was so jealous of, it took my breath away. Well, you did it again. This Venus de Milo quickening heart is brilliant. It's like, you know, just the thought. They cut off her arms in that. In this one, she's holding her own heart in her hand. But Venus de Milo quickening heart, absolutely brilliant, brilliant, brilliant line. I can't say that enough. And then towards the end, superseding the awning, sweltering smoke and mirrors, harp strings, the trampoline, puddling the percussionists of mindfulness. Superseding the awning, another great phrase, and sweltering smoke and mirrors. We use smoke and mirrors, I've used it a couple of times, but we use the thought of smoke and mirrors in in poems often, but the sweltering gives it a look, in my mind, of the so hot in the room that there's steam on it, you can't even see in the mirror. So it's like the smoke and mirrors aren't really helping because they're so steamed. And harp strings, the trampoline, puddling the percussionist of mindfulness. The metaphors that you create are always brilliant. But again, another line I'm really jealous of, back to the Venus de Milo quickening heart. You did an amazing job with this. And the Chamber of Man's Ignorance just there sets you in tone for the possibility of heartbreak. Well, damn, that's a little beyond heartbreak. You're so hurt that you just ripped it out and you're holding it, and it's just like, you know, what else can I do? Wow. Really, really amazing. Before I get a comment, let me say hello to Liquid Damage. Hi, Linda. It won't let me. Hello, Linda. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. How are you? Hello, hello.
Glad you're here.
Good to be here.
Not sure how long you were sitting there. I was following along on Kay's poem and then running my mouth because she blew me away. Well, she always does, but that one line is just, like, mind-blowing. Did you hear her poem?
No, I sure didn't. I just got on.
I thought so. Okay, I just wanted to check just in case. There's quite a few to get through, so I'm going to probably do me plus three. So how about if I go to Dave and have him comment for Kay, please?
You know, I really like this. Of course, just like you said, Deb, we both love everything she's doing. I agree with what you had to say about the second, well, I guess it was the third stanza, but I like the second one too. Sadly, chiffon draping her legs upon moonlight stems, sheepishly conscious, stricken, dragged upon lacerations. I really like that line. Sheepishly conscious, stricken. That's easy to picture, actually, for me. I had to agree with that, what you said about the smoke and mirrors. That does give an impression of steamy mirrors, you know, I guess. Harp strings, the trampoline. Wow. Puddling the percussionist of mindfulness. Jeez. Some of the lines that you use, Kay, are really amazing. I mean, they're very original. And, you know, Deb and I have said this before in other parts that we probably wouldn't have thought of using, you know, those things in the same line, those words in the same line. I think that's a lot of brilliance on your part, Kay. This was a beautiful poem, really was, and thoughtfully written, and has snowflakes of Kay all over it. So, well done.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Wayne?
Yeah, this is an amazing poem. It's kind of caught me off guard looking at the picture and everything. It's an amazing picture that's kind of breathtaking. And you have some wonderful lines in this. And the best line I like is the sheepishly conscious, stricken, dragged upon lacerations. You have a way of making me wonder if men are a necessary evil in this world, because the descriptions are so mind-blowing. All of them are just really, really, really deep. So I'm not sure what to think about this. It's pretty, it's a beautiful poem, but I'm kind of scared it's putting me down a lot, because some women are special, and most men don't treat them right. So that's why I get out of the poem. It's a great poem, and I love it a whole lot. It's got some wild words in this, and great phrases. I like it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And before I get the next comment, Heather.
Hey, I'm late.
Make it.
Hi, Heather.
Yeah.
Hey,
glad you're here.
Hey. Yeah, me too. Sorry, late.
That's all right. Better late than never. And Stephen, will you comment for your wife while I grab your poem, please?
Yeah. As you know, we both like to be smarter than each other's comments. That's why I did say you put your heart into everything. But no, I like I really like some of the lines in here that makes me think of things like everybody's been talking about. Sibling chiffon, draping her legs upon moonlight stems, sheepishly conscious, stricken, dragged upon lacerations. To me, that speaks of, God forbid you try to be yourself, or you just get punished. And the sweltering smoke and mirrors speaks to me of hot dishonesty. So it's lies that piss you off. Or at least that's what I saw. I thought this was really cool.
Thank you.
Yep.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, I put your poem on. And I don't know if Sky wants me to read it, but Casey put a really awesome comment on the board for you. Just saying.
Oh, there.
Well, Sky does. She's a good commenter, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was waiting to see if maybe she answered yes or no. I should, but okay. Well, thank you very much, Kay. I always put them on the board. I know, but should I read it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Sky wrote an amazing comment for Kay. Says, oh, I love the blush and forest you brought in the beginning, speaking of beauty and bloom. And then comes the smoke and mirrors, brought this picture and film to life. And the birdcage flesh of entrapment and the turn in the end I was not expecting. Brilliant piece. And so glad you got me to see the film. so I can see the many nods to the film that indeed relate to many aspects of life.
Thank you.
Awesome.
The film Boxing Helena, by the way. Just...
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That movie was... Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That was... When I first saw that movie, I was so blown away by this. Every single act that was supposed to be love that was like, don't even get me started or we'll be here all night, but wow. Yeah. Anyway. Excellent call.
Hey,
great comment.
Deb.
Yeah.
What was the phrase that went with her with Kay's picture? What was the phrase that you gave her, the quote?
It's usually in her comment. In her author's notes. I am looking right now because I don't remember. Her song was "And Heart to Heart." You win if you survive. It's from The Warrior by Scandal with Patti Smith.
Okay, makes sense. Okay, that's what I wanted to know. I'm sorry to bother you.
No problem. And, okay, Stephen, yours is on the board. If you would read for us, that'd be great.
Okay. I call this, it's an interesting picture, by the way. Thank you. I call this Identity Stuffed in the Closet. The plumber's helper. Window pane spectacles with his bedpan head hairdo with pelican urine mousse reeking of asparagus. Luggage piled in gray matter zimmers stored behind blinking lids, bursting from brown barked skin, stretching earlobe to stabbed cob of corn. Jasmine scented beard of hormonal growth, eraser of identity's oceans of eye milk, vining the effeminate chin with marigold petals. The sangria sky of one-time happy thoughts pushes her back into her seashell closet, where at least the basement spiders understand. End poem.
Well, there's a different ending, where at least the basement spiders understand. That's cool, but okay. Identity stuffed in the closet with a plumber's helper. It's like, uh-oh. Windowpane spectacles without lenses, bedpan head hairdo, with pelican urine mousse reeking of asparagus. Oh my goodness! Just the visuals right there, and the trip for the senses is just like, oh my word! Pelican urine mousse, and I don't know why, but something about Mary flashed into my head, and you know, okay. That was a quite different mousse that she used. But then reeking of asparagus, which is, it is true, it's one of the strongest things that affect it. So, like, just your first paragraph, I was like, oh, my goodness. And jasmine-scented beard of hormonal growth, eraser of identity's corner of eyes milk, vining the effeminate chin with marigold petals. That is too cool. I'm sorry. I am still so taken by the first stanza that my eyes keep going back up, and then I lose my train of thought. But I love the visuals, like the sangria sky, and then where the at least the basement spiders understand. And there's a sadness to that because if nobody but those basement spiders understand, how about the pain of that? But, like, I wasn't sure where I thought you would go with this, but as usual, you just totally, like, took it off the chart, nowhere anybody would expect, and it came out really cool. Obviously, my favorite is that first stanza. But sometimes the way your mind works is such a trip. And look at these amazing poems that come out of it. And I see that list is ever growing. I remember making a big deal out of you cross the number 100. Now you got 100 plus a dozen. So you're spitting them out, Stephen. Man, oh, man, that's really awesome. And the poems, the visuals are outrageous. But the metaphors that you used are brilliant. You did a hell of a job with this. Let me, I've had her already. Okay, I'm sorry. How about, where did I leave off? Linda, will you comment for Stephen, please?
Sure. Stephen, that was really cool. I like that the basement spiders understand. I'm interpreting this as a dislike of growth patterns of being unhappy with self and wanting to hide for it. But I think it was very, very cool. Your imagery was really sweet. And yes, that that first verse with the pelican urine moose reeking of asparagus, that's just rank. But you did really good.
You think?
You made it really.
You think?
You made it really. Yeah. You really made this thing pop. So I think you did a really great job, Stephen. Thanks for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda.
Awesome comment. And Lady A, please.
Sorry, I was on mute. Well, I thought it was really creative, and it had a lot of kind of whimsical but a little bit dark humor in it, and I thought that you made good of the word bank and the colors. The picture was highly unusual, and I thought you did a great job answering to that, and I thought that I liked the sangria sky of one-time happy thoughts pushes her back into her seashell closet, where at least the basement spiders understand. I thought that was an interesting and thought-provoking verse. Sangria sky, I really liked that. And it reminded me a little bit, when you say pushed her back into the seashell closet, it reminded me of a little hermit crab hiding in the shell. So it was really good. It was again abstract too, but I think I understood it better than other times of abstract poetry. So it was really good.
Thank you, Lady A. Appreciate that.
Awesome comment. And let me read Skies for you, Stephen. It says, "I really loved the picture and the beard. LOL. I can see why she picked it for you. The bedpan head, because that damn bird is releasing himself up there. Very humorous and astute of you to notice. The barked skin was brilliant, and like how I can see how you brought in the aspects of the picture into the piece. I deal with a teenager with raging hormones all the time right now, and I don't know if all that's flowery and sweet smelling, more like stinky socks and emotional. Wonderfully done." Well, that's a cool comment. And Hatter had to go, but I'm glad you called, Hatter. I'll check on you tomorrow. Now, I would like to get Kay to comment for her hubby, please.
What? Yeah, I thought that was cool what you did, because I tried reading this for you earlier and I was stumbling because I felt it was a bit of a tongue twister.
Yeah.
But I think that what you did here is pretty cool, because I know that you were looking at that and you were spitting your words. So I think that you did bring that together very well, because I know what you told me, you saw the picture. So I think you channeled that very well, because I know when you looked at the picture, you said it had feminine qualities to it, the picture. So that's what you played on from there with the picture. You brought that together very well, bringing your words together in a unique way as well. It's cool.
Great comment. And I was just noticing, because I was so dumbfounded by the opening stanza that I missed it the first time around, it was a front page pick, so congratulations on that, Stephen. And let me let Wayne comment before you before you push the mortuary. Wayne, you want to comment for Stephen?
Yes, I would. I said, wow, this is cool. You've said so much that it's funny and serious at the same time, like bursting from the brown bark skin, stretching elope to stab cob of corn. What? I wish I was a basement spider so I could understand and push back her and push her back into a CCL closet and then look at the San Francisco sky and have a happy thought, or maybe two. Great job. I love this poem.
That's great.
Awesome comment. And before Dave reads for us, Stephen, you want to tell us what's happening at the mortuary tonight?
Sure. Tonight at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it is the Mortuary of Shadows over at Poetic Slice of Life, and it is open dark poetry. Just want you to bring one of your favorite dark poems or write a new one and bring it and dazzle us and scare us at the same time.
Sounds like
you
a plan.
Yeah, it'll be.
Yeah,
sounds
like a plan. Yes.
We've just lost power, so I might lose my phone and the computer. So if I disappear, that's why. I've got no... Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I will see you two over there. And Dave Proffitt, your poem is on the board.
Okie dokie. Let's see here. All right. Well, I call this one Of Mountains and Motorcycles, and it goes like this. Mountaintop ridgelines and elevations of 2,000 feet or more wakens the wind god from his year-long slumber, twisting clouds asunder into wispy mare's tails, pulling fog from the trees into streaks caressing the tops of evergreens, undertow from a hand unseen, makes us believe in the wind god Nojir, in his mountain kingdom dwelling. My black and chromium mechanical steed takes me into his realm in viper navigation, up winding forest roads through silver mists, refined by intimate evergreen distillation like a fine silver scotch climbing ever up. The mountain secret so guarding shows me her colors and sunset shades of apricot, curtains against forest green, wind gypsies trailing brandy, and blonde vapor trails of soft as mahogany chiffon. I put the chrome kickstand down from my Night Train 88 twin cam, black and chromium Harley Davidson, magician to my mental health needs as I watch the day die, trailing off into radish colored sparks into the horizon. My eagle's eye view at 2,000 feet above the valley floor off some lonesome logging road as a clear cut sweeps my vision down her silver and emerald flanks. She's losing her silver to greens all over again. The Morris is a mighty healer of herself and of me. She sings to me, chrome-wheeled fuel injection stepping out over the line. She reads me as easily as my dark queen. I can smell her on the warm thermals rising up the ridge flanks. I am so addicted to the queen's heady fragrance, gunpowder and cotton candy. Kisses my face and makes love to my nose. David, my man, so pleased to see you here. Your mountains so beautiful, your heart so beside itself to see me, which pleases me into infinity. I love thee so, my human. Would thee take me for a ride on the back of your Harley? I would be honored, my queen. She giggles as I watch her become human for me for a little while. The queen of the universe on the back of my Harley. Imagine that. I love you, David, she whispers. End poem.
Uh-oh. She's riding on the back of his bike now. Look out.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, for one thing, I love the way I love the way you incorporated the line from the song into the poem. That was a nice touch. But as always, your descriptions and your details and your conversations with the Dark Mother. But I think my chin dropped when you exchanged I love you at the end. I was like, whoa. But I mean, you know, one of these days you're going to have this mega dream and you're going to I can see you trying not to wake up because you'll be spending so much time with the Dark Mother. She reads me as easily as my dark queen. I can smell her on warm thermals rising up the ridge flanks. Where's the cotton candy? I know it was there. Maybe I went. Here it is. I am so addicted to the Queen's Heaty Fragrance Gunpowder and Cotton Candy. You know, you ought to send in your thoughts on the gunpowder and cotton candy to one of the perfume places. Imagine a perfume called the Dark Mother. And I bet you there's between the cotton candy and gunpowder would probably mix to smell kind of like a toasted marshmallow or something. I don't know, but it just, it's a scent that she's carried with her for years now. And this queen, yeah, this Dark Mother's been on more adventures than most people that I know. It's really awesome that
she has
continued her story in new and different ways, all the way up to and including giving her a ride on the back of your bike. So, like, really, really cool, right, Dave Prophet? Let me get you some comments.
Thank you, Deborah. Okay.
Let me get one from Stephen, please.
Yeah, I like this, Dave. It's amazing how nature can heal us if we let us. I remember, I think the first time I ever talked, online anyway, you talked about your mountain, how it helps you sometimes sort your thoughts. And I told you about how I feel the same way about Lake Erie.
You
have that nature thing in common. I really, really like the descriptions in this, and I really like the plug to Bruce. But you are the master storyteller, Dave.
Thank you, Stephen.
Awesome comment. And before Kay comments, let's say hi to Frank. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show.
Hello,
hey, Frank.
Hello. It's good to be on.
Frank here.
It's a violent drop tonight.
And I'm just getting some comments for David, and I was going to see if I could get one from Kay.
Well, I will second what Stephen said, but I will also say I like what you brought here because it's definitely cool view to the prompt. The beauty of nature, it fills the inner spirit, the thrill of the Dark Mother riding on the Harley with you. You definitely build on that and make the moment perfectly blissful with the surge of energy through your eyes. It's a cool share to your prompt, Dave.
Oh, thanks, Kay. Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Linda?
Yeah, well, you know, this was the poem I picked as my favorite of Dave's. I didn't get to show up, but this is the one I picked. I was actually surprised to see it up here tonight. But there's nothing more fantastic than a sunset mountain ride on a motorcycle. The wind is incredible. The reds are redder. The oranges are orangier. And your senses all go awry because it's almost like being underwater with a vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, the feel of the wind on your skin after a while becomes like being underwater. And I really liked how you put this part. Let me find it. Yeah, I can't find it. But, the mountain secret so guarding shows me her colors and sunset shades of apricot curtains against forest green, wind gypsies trailing brandy and blonde. Yeah, the colors are fantastic. And there's just nothing like the feel of being out there on a motorcycle. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Dave, you come from, you know, a motorcycle background, and I've done a riding with my husband, and it's just really fun. And the ending where you talk about the mother, it's becoming quite the deal. You're working her in a lot better, I believe. This was flawless, and I liked how she said, becoming human for me for a little while, the queen of the universe on the back of my Harley. Imagine that. I love you, David, she whispers. That's just so cute. I really like this one, David. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda.
Awesome comment. And Dave, let me read to you from Sky. It says, I love how you brought in Norse mythology in the Wind God, the personification of the queen of the universe, and the idea of her taking corporal form was brilliant. A moment to ride together in wonderfully descriptive images, and even more so a sweet moment taken with the mountains, an excellent piece. And that's from Sky, Sky, Sky. And good night,
well,
Stephen and Kay. Thank
you
for calling. I'll see you over there. And we're going to do a recording next, but I wanted to see, Wayne, did you want to comment for Dave before I move on to the next poll?
Yes, I had a comment. It's pretty short. I said, I want two of what you're taking. This is some trip you went on. I'm going with you on the next trip to take. I can imagine the Queen of Universe saying, drop me off at Mars. This is magical. I think I'll sing. Chrome wheels, fuel injected, stepping out over the line. Dave, my man, this is fine, and I need a glass of wine. Great job.
There we go, Wayne. There we go.
Awesome.
Thank you, thank you.
That was cool. Great comments, everyone. Awesome poem, David. And if you guys would click on Titus's poem, I'll push the recording.
Time machine, back to a time. One moment, we are watching clouds matching size above the Himalayan range from Missouri, wrapped in Kashmir shawls, crosswinds do uprise, the ripples of maize, swaying their heads as if sorry or I told you so. A journey on to India, but leaving the next. It would create a time warp, and our parting bronze below the horizon, leading to a sunset grieving, aspen pollen clustered, while my eyes are still smarting. As dark as death were I, our opposite directions last seen, unforeseeable futures will never leave the stream, the river sticks, I am told, life will never again blast. With you there will be fields of emerald green, a dream beholden to anyone's eyes, my own topaz red, as black as death, the devil has waterlogged my mind's despair, like a marshland in Dehradun, 'tis often I'll backtrack. Lilacs are declared duly symbols of dissonance, futurity, it's tropical where she is, and I do instate my anonymity.
Wow. For starters, I don't know about you guys, but the tone of the music that he put in the background to the, I think sorrow is the word I'm looking for. One moment we are watching clouds, the next, it's like, you know, I'm trying to find it, crossed winds do uprise, the ripples of maize swaying their heads as if sorry. You could feel the sorrow in the words, in his voice, the memory that was brought up. There were so many pieces that I'm trying to find some of the ones as I go backwards. Bronze below the horizon leading to the sunset grieving. As dark as death were I, our supposed direction last seen, unforeseeable futures will never leave the stream. That man, the river sticks, I am told. So you know someone's lost. And when you get to the, as death, the devil has waterlogged my mind's despair like a marshland. It's like, there it is, back a little. Beholden to anyone's eyes, my own, topaz red, as black as death. There's so much sorrow and pain in here. And by the time he got to the last sentence, where she is and I do instate my anonymity, I'm like, what could have possibly happened? And I felt really sad, and I wondered who was lost, because obviously there's somebody was lost here. I feel a heartbrokenness that went with the tone in his voice, and as I said, and also with the music that was set in the background. And then on top of it, his pronunciations and his use of word banks. I know I've said this before, but there's like a half a dozen people that are, they're in a word bank contest. I wouldn't even try to enter because they're so brilliant at it. And he's up there at the top of that list because he can take a word bank and absolutely blow me away. And then if you take it back to the photo, I look at the photo and I think, you know, oh, that's a pretty setting. But it's an example of in the eye of the beholder at its finest, because it, for him, sparked a very sad memory. And I know there was a she in there, so I have a feeling that maybe his wife lost someone there, or they as a couple lost someone there, but there was definitely someone lost, and I was totally not expecting the sorrow and the pain that I feel and the sadness for them right now. But wow, that's power in a pen when you can, I'm flabbergasted with emotion from whatever happened to them at that spot. Wow. Brilliant work. Lady A, will you comment for Titus, please?
Oh, yes. I thought this was absolutely stunning. I agree with you entirely about the music. The music did something to me as well. It was well matched to this, to his words. And this is the story that I saw in this piece. I think that he was reminiscing, and I it says to here somewhere below, I think that this is at the very top, I think, a true tale. So I think what he's done here is traveled back in time to a time where he and this other person were happy, and then he's returned there to look for her. This is what I get out of it, because he speaks about how he sees her wrapped in the cashmere shawls, crosswinds to uprise, but she's already lost to him at the beginning of this poem is what I see. I told you so. A journey on to India, but leaving the next, it would create a time warp and our parting. See, so they did part, and I think he's trekked back to this place to find her, whether it's her living self or her spirit remains in India and in this place. And he's crying where his eyes are still smarting. And his life has become very dark without her. I'm looking into this deeply, and I wish I had a whole bunch of time to address each line. But and he said, with you, there will be... And then he talks about the future, which I think is his interpretation of heaven, where I think she may have died in this place. You see, there's a circle at the top, and there's a red spot at the bottom where there is a chasm between them. And so I see, where did I see that? With you, there will be fields of emerald green, a dream beholden to anyone's eyes, my own topaz red as black as death, and the devil has waterlogged my mind in despair. But he comes out of it, because he backtracks. And then lilacs declare duly symbols of dissonance and futurity. It's tropical where she is, and I do instate my anonymity. I think he's gone, he's turned the clock backwards, and he backtracks to repair or pick up or reunite with this lost love. This is where I think this is just absolutely romantic. And it's inspiring. And you go on this journey that he's been to the Himalayas and to India and places like that. It reminds me of a friend of mine who has traveled very long times in this area as well. But I think that this, if you look really closely and dissect it word for word and line by line, you will see, in my opinion, that he is looking for this love that he had back when is it say with his title, back to a time. And he's trying to change the direction, perhaps, or to direct his future to meet her. And it's not going to be on this earth, is what I got. I think this is a brilliant poem. Absolutely wonderful.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. And Frank, will you comment?
Yes, I'll try. Obviously, Lady A said pretty much everything that I was going to convey in this poem here. Mention there of back to a time. It's very haunting in a sense. It's very reminiscent to many of us there. And I did feel to a great extent that he was describing here a moment in time, an experience here with someone or a lost sense of a being, of a friend, a lover. I'm not certain here. But there's something there that's attached to this poem. There's that haunting nature of a reminiscence there. And I thought it was just a beautiful piece here. It was haunting, yet, as I said before, it was very, very full of colorful imagery here, and just a notion there of the past, which we all seldom, we all often do reminisce. And to me, his thoughts here are a very, very haunting, very dark, but at the same time, they are relatable. So it really took me down memory lane with this piece here.
Great comment. It got real quiet, so I realized I must have been talking to the mute button. That happens sometimes. And it's not, sometimes I have myself on mute and I'm talking and I'm like, why are they talking over me? And then I look down and see, well, that's because I think I disappeared. Let me let Sky into the room. Hey, Sky, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sky.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Sky.
Hi, Sky.
Glad you're here. And I know that you're calling real quick on a break. I don't know if you got to listen to Titus's poem to comment or if I should get one more from someone else before you read.
I would get it from somebody else. I did hear it.
Okay, I didn't think you were here. I just wanted to double. Yeah, no problem. I just didn't want to not ask. I didn't think you got in here quick enough to be able to hear it. Linda, will you comment for Titus, please?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me because you guys have all these long, eloquent comments. And all I could really say about that was it was just a very chilling piece of work, a journey through pain and despair. And that's really what it was. And I can't see how to read any more in there except saying the technical stuff, the imagery was great. It was metaphorically sound. He did a very, very cool job on this, and I thank him for sharing it.
Sounded like a good comment to me. Thank you. And thank you for sending in the SoundCloud, Titus. I'm sticking to the sadness and the loss and the fact that it's a true tale. Makes me want to send virtual hugs your way, so appreciate you. And I know that Sky has to go because she's on a quick break at work, so I did load your poem on the board if you will dazzle us with your brilliance.
Thank you. This is called When Air Balloons Take Flight, and I am left to wither and all that once was green. I still don't know. I tried to climb the flames of the sky, mango swelters of rose quartz and tango red, a tangerine husk of sun after her laughter sheds. Skins of daffodil bronze, fading like phantoms in silvered chrome, billows of smoke, and dismantled disarray of clouds, spilling browning yolk. And when I falter, I built a sycamore weave, a tree-like hem of wicker basket tweed, the rainbow shoot of apple orange yellows, turning to purple blues and lime green, a lampshade of light that could perhaps save a resemblance of me. But upon the command of wind, it leapt like the beat of a hollowing hymn, and I, the insect, crawling within, fell to the gaps of gathered time, to the ticks and talks I thought were mine. A record of once, of words once heard, now left to wither, and all that once was green. A haze of shadow, rootless earth, and guzzled gasoline. And who is to know what is fruitless, therein foundations that are made? If the heart is a feckless lover, a cool jest we chance to brave. End poem.
Wow, Sky. The tone in your voice was kind of sad, too. Wow. Okay, the title. When air balloons take flight and I am left to wither in all that was once green. Just the title is so sad, the thought of being left behind, the thought of withering away. Wow. I think that you couldn't have picked a more brilliant title for that photo, for one. Then down here in your stanzas here, skins of daffodil bronze fading like phantoms in silvered chrome billows of smoke. Amazing visuals there. And when I faltered, I built a sycamore weave, a tree like hem of wicker's baskets tweed. Great, great wording. But where's that? But upon the command of wind, it leapt like the beat of a hollowing hymn, and I, the insect crawling within, fell to the gasp of gathered time, the ticks and tocks I thought were mine. There is so much heartache and sadness and loss and loneliness, abandonment. My goodness, this is like a powerhouse poem filled with emotion, and I never know the direction or tone that some of these poems will take. And I don't know what I expected here, but this is amazing. I'm really stuck, though. Fell to the gasps of gathered time, the ticks and tocks I thought were mine. There's just such ache that I feel. And the tone in your voice, like I said at the beginning, just kept... Another one I'd like to send out a hug for. In a heart, if the heart is a freckless lover, a cruel jest we chance to brave. What a way to wrap it all up. This is, I'm losing my voice. This is really amazing. And I think that the descriptions, that the metaphors, that the title, and the tone in your voice all combined to pull me in and keep me there and keep me invested in the words you were saying and the feelings you were feeling as you read. Hell of a job, Sky. Impressive.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you.
Let me start with Dave, please. Dave dropped. How about if I start with the Queen of Canada?
Yes. Well, I love your writing, Sky, as you know. And you have the mind of someone. I'm so envious at times when I read your pieces because you have this fantastic imagination and such a talent for writing that it is to be envied because you have such a gift of metaphor. All of the gadgets and stuff that we use in poetry, and you make it come alive. And you have a way of pulling at a heart and sometimes ripping a heart out. And I like that about your writing because you have very strong emotional pens, and it moves me when I read your poetry. And I think that is such a great sign of a great writer, when you can be moved to tears or moved emotionally in some way deeply. And I feel your poetry does that. And this, if the heart is a feckless lover, a cruel jest we chance to brave. And just how you knit that together and how it sounds when it rolls off your tongue, or as you read it in the quiet of your own mind, I think that it has such great beauty, those two little lines. And I mean, the whole poem is like that. I think you have such a gift, and I think you should stand up and take a bow. I just think it's fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Andrea.
You're more than
awesome
welcome.
Comment.
I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
Awesome comment. And Frank, please.
Yes, I agree with what's been said here. I think this is very exceptional and a very exquisite piece here. I am amazed at times by Sky's ability there to use... can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I thought I was dropping there. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that I just enjoy the remarkable ability that Sky has of just using, interjecting her metaphors and her brilliant writing of narrative, of storytelling. And I thought this was no exception there. This was just a beautiful piece here. It was mournful. It was sober. It was somber. But it was beautiful, you know. And many times we have to go through these types of emotions, even the sad ones and the nostalgic ones, to feel a sense of understanding, to feel a sense of release as well. And this is a piece here, although, as I said, somber and sober to a certain extent, it's a beautiful piece. I really enjoyed just the natural, the nature of the poem, I would say. It was very much reflected in this piece here. Your quill was very appreciated.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, will you comment for Sky before you read yours, please?
Yes. Between the picture and the mood of the voice, you presented a sad poem of a person lost and brokenhearted and just wanted to leave where she's at. And I just wanted to jump up and say, hey, hold on, I'm coming to help you out. I'll be there soon. It's just you know, she's begging for help, and it's so sad. It's sad. It's so sad. I was going to sit there and just want to help, do something to help her out. Great poem, great read, and great mood you set. It was a wonderful poem. Good write.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Sky, before you head back to work, do you have a show somewhere you want to push?
Yeah, I'm on Saturday night at Poetic Slice. We're going onward and with our Lord of the Rings journey. So check it out. And if I may, I have a pog party coming up. You guys got to sign up. So if you want to be part of the pog party, go check it out. Thank you, Deb.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. I'm glad you called.
Time.
And talk soon. And Wayne, yours is on the board.
Yes. These pictures you came up with, these posters, are pretty dramatic. Everybody's got these dramatic poems because it's, you did a hell of a job picking up pictures and putting quotes to them. So mine is the same way.
Thank
but
you.
It's called She Had to Go is the name of mine. It ain't quite as sad as that, but it's kind of different. It goes like this. She was cute with her ruby red lips and great bloodshot eyes. In my potential pants and plum shirt, caught her by surprise. knew she wanted my jewelry and contents of pocketbook. My aquamarine smile was hiding my two-faced look. She said that if our love, she said if her love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. It was higher than a kite. I had to dispose of her somehow. My charcoal thoughts could only imagine an assassination. To shut down windpipe was my wildest imagination. She would sit with me on the pistachio carpet with the cornflower tangled hair tangled, making her upset. All I could think about was the magic she did. Once that she turned a twig into a pinkish orchid. Late one night, as she was preparing for dawn, I could see her body through her sheer clothes head on. Mixed a cocktail drink to quietly knock her out. Took her to the balcony, and as she went over, she couldn't shout. I was pleased to see the bitch couldn't fly. Faked it good. Everyone saw me as I cried. Kept asking angels, why did she have to die? And when I buried her, I left without saying goodbye. And...
Oh, my God, I was laughing out. I had a mute. I was laughing out loud. Oh, my goodness. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Back to, where is that balcony? oh, my goodness. where is the balcony? I got tears coming down my face.
Four stanza.
One, two, three. Okay, last night... Late one night, as she was preparing for dawn, could see her body through sheer clothes she had on, mixed a cocktail drink to quietly knock her out, took her to balcony, and she never went over, couldn't shout. I don't even want to know who she is, a bon voyage bitch. Dan, Wayne, I think that you had a little bit of pent-up aggression, and that this was an amazing place to take it out. Oh, my God. She had to go. That could have meant so many things, from her needing to go to the bathroom to obviously she needed to die. She needed to be gone, get her out of my orbit. But, oh, my goodness, the use of the word bank with, like, great bloodshot eyes, that's a cool phrase. My charcoal thoughts could only imagine an assassination. To shut down windpipe was my wildest imagination. Oh, my goodness. She would sit with me on the pistachio carpet, her cornflower hair tangled, making her upset. And I could think about what magic she did, watched as she turned twig into a pinkish orchid. So, like, you know, I thought she was pretty cool. She could turn twigs into flowers and stuff. And then the next thing you know, we're shoving her off the balcony to see if she can fly. And obviously she couldn't fly because she couldn't even shout. And then I was cracking up with the last stanza. I mean, boy, oh, boy. And the last line, when I buried her, I left without saying goodbye. Wow. Wayne, I bet you even Elton John would be sitting there giggling over this one. I'm trying to find, you didn't write what the Elton, I don't remember what the lyrics were. Darn it. I'm trying to think of what he said, what lyrics it was that you got that could have driven you to murder.
If our love was the circus, you'd be a clown by now.
Right. Okay, you said that in the song. Okay, you saw that. You said that in the second stanza. Okay, duh. I was just so blown away, I totally forgot that you incorporated it into the poem. I think that you did brilliant. I think that, like I said, I'm a little afraid now, and I don't want to piss you off because I might just take a nosedive sometime. I'm glad my highest balcony here is 3 floors, so I would probably only break something or get bruised, but wow. This is totally unexpected and really awesome, and laughs are priceless, and you're really, really good at sparking those giggles, Wayne. You really are.
I want to be the humorous.
Hell of a job with this. Let me get
Thank
you some comments.
Yeah.
How about if I get one from, let me see here, before I did have to drop. Okay. How about if I get one from you, Lady A?
Sure. Wayne, you have a really great talent for where is your poem again? I hear it's lost. I've got so many pages open. You have a gift for humor. You have a tender side to yourself. You have a serious side to yourself. I think you've incorporated all of that in here. And then at the end of it, I'm waiting for this great poetic conclusion after you've written, and then you throw that humor in there when it's so unexpected, and I just love it. I was pleased to see that bitch couldn't fly, faked it good, everyone saw me. You're really brilliant at all of that, and I like this. Kept asking angels, why did she have to die? When I buried her, left without saying goodbye. So, you know, this is etched with sarcasm, sadness, and humor all in those four little lines. Well, even actually through the whole poem, but you do a great job on that. Really good job.
Thank you very much. That's a great comment.
Awesome comment. And Frank, please.
Yes, this is obviously this is a practical way in here. I love this piece was an excellent display of dark and macabre writing at best. The obvious usage of the word bank was exemplary in this piece here. Wayne is very creative. We are already used to his superb ability to rhyme. But what I always enjoy about his pieces are, and I've been seeing them lately, are his exquisite narratives. They're very much they're intense, they're chilling. He brings the reader there from the beginning there with the cute, with ruby lips, and great bloodshot eyes. You know, you bring the imagery there from the beginning. You just exemplify what creative writing is, and of course your humor. Is I agree with what Lady A says. It's extraordinary there. You're very consistent in your writing, and I just have to say I appreciate so much your writing. In the sense that you always bring us everything about you. You always incorporate in your stories, although perhaps they might be fiction or completely non-fiction. You always bring your experience with us in as well, I would say, a great measure of your wisdom.
Well, thank you very much. I like to make people laugh, and so that's my biggest goal is just to make somebody, catch them off guard and make them laugh. So that's what I love doing.
Oh, you're really good.
You do a great job, then. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. And Linda, will you comment for Wayne and then read yours for us?
Sure. Wayne, you are like Shakespeare in Wayne's hair. It's a tragic comedy, and it's like Romeo and Juliet, except Juliet was a skank and Romeo didn't die. You have captured it all. But, dude, that was so hilarious. Good job.
Thank you very much, Linda.
You're welcome.
Great comments, everyone, and thank you, Wayne. And, Linda, yours is on the board.
This is called A Box with Sides of Eight. And I apologize, Deb. I once again didn't get to darken in the prompt words, but they're listed in the notes. Anyway, A Box with Sides of Eight. My mother always kept a box that held my heart and soul. She was such a wicked witch, she never let me go. But once upon a time when I was barely 17, I started feeling it was my time to go and chase my dreams. My mother in her reverence told me I had to stay, then said that she would never ever let me run away. Her eyes were like weapons, her glance was like a knife, and she could cut you with one look and fill your heart with strife. She told me that I couldn't live my life without her near. Since she held my heart and soul, she made it very clear. Once you had a brother who chanced to get away, without his heart and soul with him, he started to decay. So just don't think about it. Your dreams will have to wait. I have your heart and soul in a box with sides of eight. These tears can never dry. A judgment made can never bend. Look closely in my eyes. You'll see the strength of God in the end. Because one day my freedom came. I heard a giant crash. My mom had fallen off the porch whilst taking out the trash. Like an eggshell she had broken when falling to the ground. The doctors couldn't fix her when she broke her crown. They found the box tied to her around her bloody neck. They had no clue what it was, so assumed it just was dreck. So quickly did I grab it up, and for my mother grieved. I thought I really loved her, and so I made believe. Then I took a dress of hers. A storm had began to brew. I put it on, remembering I had paid my dues. I'd fly away in feathers with iridescent glow. It had circles of strawberry and dots in them of gold. Some of them were cobalt blue with trim of pickle green. Others had eyeballs watching in shades of tangerine. I wore her pearls around my neck. They looked very great. Then into the storm I walked with my box with sides of eight in poem.
Now, I get the feeling that there's something in a memory there is there any truth in pieces of this or the feel of this? I don't
know
what it's...
Some.
I can't...
Yeah,
I just
some.
Go ahead. Oh, I can't put my finger on what the feeling was I had in your voice when I was listening to you read, and it kept going on. Okay. Each stanza is like a little story of its own. My mother always kept the box that held my heart and soul. She was such a wicked witch; she'd never let me go. And for some reason, at the end of that one, I found myself thinking there's been quite a few times where, although I would use a different itch word, where I would be mad at my mom for something, and I got the feeling, okay, she can call her mom a wicked witch, but I bet you'd be in trouble if you called her one. I don't know
right.
why, but that's what, right? And
right.
her eyes were like weapons. Her glance was like a knife. She could cut you with one look and fill your heart with strife.
That one was very true.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, that one was very true for me, too. My mom might hang the sun and hang the moon and help glitter the stars, but if she was mad at you, you knew it. Everyone knew it. You could tell in her eyes, and I really think she could shoot daggers with them bad boys now and then. And I'm sure at least a couple of times my dad took some shots in the butt from those daggers if he went out
right.
to play cards after work instead of coming right home. So it made me think of all the different ups and downs in a relationship, but in such a clever way. And then in that last stanza, I wore her pearls around my neck. They looked very great. Then into the storm I walked with my box with size of eight. Now, for that, it's like, you know, there was good, there was bad, but now I wear my pearls and I think of her, and I have my box with the size of eight, too, like a tradition was set type of thing. And I can't for the life of me figure out why this is adult. I don't get it either.
I don't know why. I tried to take that off several times, and it wouldn't come off.
Well, I think that usually
means... Because there's no swear words in it?
No, I know. You know what? I think maybe because... The only thing I can think of is that in the one part, wasn't there the bloodied neck? Maybe someone complained
yeah.
that there was violence, and the owner or one of the coordinators of actually allpoetry.com put the label on, and in that case, you can't take it off. That's the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's some kind of bug, and I would put in a ticket for it. But as usual, your rhyme and flow and storytelling ability is awesome. And you had me all over the place as far as the feelings, like I said, about the ups and downs of a mother-daughter relationship. At least that's how it hit me. But I really love that it ended up with you having that necklace on, which to me feels like closing out with some hope and a good thought and the you know, the
right.
Part of you having the box to carry on. So I think you did a brilliant job with this photo.
Well, it's
kind
of like in the end, I had a piece of her with me.
Right, right. Awesome. Okay, that's the feel I got from it. Even after everything, at the end, you still had that connection and you had it around your neck at that time. Okay, awesome,
right.
Awesome poem. Let me get you some comments. How about you, Wayne?
I'm going to say that. What a storyline. This is perfect rhyme. The flow was so perfect. It has to be a classic poem. Your mother's death set you free, but you still had her memory close to you. And I'm glad you finally got free, and I'm caring about your mom was so sweet. This is a great play, story, or movie. You're amazing. What is your point? Those little stories you write, I think it's great. I enjoyed it all the way through, and you got so much emotion in this. It's just it's amazing. I love this poem. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Frank, how about you?
Yes, I have to echo those sentiments expressed by Wayne. I think Linda has a remarkable ability as well to give us great stories and rhyme as well, which is not an easy thing. It's not an easy task. But I thought this piece here had elements of reality and surreality, that we all can situate ourselves with the notion of the mother, our relationship with the mother. I like the title, A Box of Signs of Eight. That was very compelling there. I thought the imagery here was very compelling as well. There's wonderful lines here that speak of it is a haunting nature that it describes. But I also feel that in the end, this poem here, with the pearls there, it offered a measure of redemption or a measure of hope there. In the form of memories there. I wore her pearls around my neck. They looked very great. And into the storm I walked with my box of spots of eight. So although you go from the stanza before that to a gory element, you do have ended there with that notion of the pearls there. So that in itself had to be something that was very much reminiscent there. So I thought this piece here is fantastic, and I, as always, Linda, you always have a remarkable ability to bring each and every time that you do these shows of Deb and the Prof's fantastic storylines.
Great. Thank you, Frank.
No, you're welcome.
Oh, by the way, hola.
Oh, hola.
Awesome.
Yeah, everyone thinks it's hola, but it just means hello in Spanish. So when I write and I go on board, people think I'm saying hola. No, it means just hello.
Hola. Yeah, well, the first time
you
know what it is? Because we're all so used to Boo putting up hola that it's our first thought,
yeah.
And we don't even stop to realize that there's only one L there, you know?
Yeah. You're not the first one.
Well, it's kind of an inside joke. I don't know, Frank, did you read the poem I wrote for your tribute?
Yes, I read it. I was going to say it wasn't my birthday, but I do appreciate
it. I know,
it,
but
I did read it.
When they told me it was a tribute, somebody said it was your birthday. So that's why I wrote it.
Yeah.
And it was meant to be a roast. It wasn't most serious. It was a joke. Okay. I just wanted to make sure
you knew
that was a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be on tomorrow, so if you want to call in tomorrow to the show, we'll be on for an hour.
Oh, at what time?
At 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
I'll PM you afterwards.
I can't remember. Lady A, did I let you comment?
No, I didn't comment yet.
Please do.
Well, Linda, this was really great, and I agree with what everybody said. You know, you are a terrific storyteller, and this is woven in with some factual things about your mom and you and growing up, and I couldn't help but think about perhaps you feeling somewhat rebellious when this was going on, that you needed to go and chase your dreams. And then I think about your mother saying to you that you had to stay. And that you would never, never run away. She would never let you run away. And
right.
She loved you. And this is what I get out of this. And I feel, I wonder how that would feel to have someone care about you that much that she would never let you go. And
right.
It's just beautiful.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're more than welcome.
I'm sorry if I make you cry.
No, don't be. No. It's poetry. It moves me. Words move me. The stories move me.
Right.
The whole, and then that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yes, that is. That's very true.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lady A.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
I finished
everyone.
Mine, Deb, and threw it in the topic board if you want to see it.
Okay, cool. And I also just put the photo that goes with Phil, the poet, on the board. So if you guys click on that, I will push play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Universal Child's Play. Twisted satellites grinding through a bubblegum mist, the excited laughter of a child that plays with a single wish to remind the adults of how life is an adventure, a carnival of unknown possibilities in an unseen future. Stars fall like cigarette ash upon a red cube, scolding the lonely astronaut with cosmic dew, while his muscles stiffen at the toddler's drool. Biting his lip, he curses at being such a damn fool. Prune juice dribbles down the face of an android child, Nephilim swinging his sword like a giant scythe, cutting down the roots of a labeled broken tower, all hailing the day of the crooked tree power. A cocoa-stained hand holds a meteorite's rattle, exploding threats over a marshmallow battle. The child giggles at the destruction of the universe, claps with glee at the final stage of a starburst. Time creeps like an inchworm going in circles, planning the trail through unicorn vehicles. Soon this will all roll up like an ancient scroll, revealing the disintegration of man's doomed soul. End poem.
Wow. I was looking at the photo on the chat wall that he wrote to while I was listening to him read. For starters, I love the way he pronounces words. I love listening to him read. Universal Child's Play. Great title for that. Twisted satellites grinding through a bubblegum mist. What a brilliant use of that. Bubblegum mist, that's a first time for that phrase, but it works so well with this. The excited laughter of a child at play with a single wish to remind the adults of how life is an adventure, a carnival of unknown possibilities in an unseen future. Even if he stopped right there, there's a brilliance to these words, and they play perfectly with that photo. They pulled out everything from before, old building blocks, even, I don't know if everybody calls them rabbit ears, but the antenna from the old-time TVs on his head like a cap. The details that he pulled in here from that photo is really, really awesome. Prune juice dribbles down the face of an android child. That is the visuals there. You know, you can picture the brown dribbling. I mean, a cocoa-stained hand holds a meteorite rattle, floating threats over a marshmallow battle. The rhyme is clever. The visuals are clever. And at the end here, time creeps like an inchworm going in circles. I mean, Phil, you did a brilliant job with this crazy word bank that I gave you. And I tried to make them a little bit more complicated this time. And the poems that are coming out of these, it doesn't matter what I throw at you guys, you always come up with incredible poetry to go with. By the time I'm done, at one point I keep expecting to find something that seems like it was forced, but it never happens. You have become so accustomed and so brilliant at threading these words that I give you into them that nobody could ever say that, you know, you just threw that word there because you didn't know what to do with it, because you guys always seem to know what to do with it, and you dazzle me. And wow, Phil, I'm quite taken by this one with the phrasing and the metaphors and the closing line to revealing a disintegration of man's doomed soul. What a sad, surreal way to end the poem. So I think, as usual, you did a brilliant job with your prompt, and I so appreciate you sending in the sound. It's excellent and very much appreciate it. Let me get you some comments. How about, let me start with Linda, please.
Oh, okay. And then I'm going to go, Deb. I'm not feeling real hot. But, yeah, on this I see the child sees things in different light than we do, and they're in their own little world, and it's a beautiful world, and everything's sweet and candy and cocoa. And then there's reality that's dark and foreboding sometimes, and the times they are changing. But this was really cool imagery. I liked it a lot. Good work, Phil. Anyway, I'll see you guys next week.
Hope you feel better. Thank you for calling.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. And Lady A, will you comment for Phil, please?
Yeah, I think that I've said it before that, you know, Phil, I've always enjoyed his poetry, and I love that he's got the SoundClouds now. But, you know, he always has a message in his poetry, and it starts out with using the word bank and about children laughing and playing and a singlish to remind the adults of how life is an adventure, a carnival of unknown possibilities as in an unseen future. And on he goes about describing this android child and what's going on. But in the end, the last, which was very creative, I thought, too, but in the end, the time creeps like an inchworm going in circles, planning the trail through unicorn vehicles. Soon this will all roll up like an ancient scroll, and then the kicker, revealing the disintegration of man's doomed soul. What a brilliant write this is, and, you know, a warning for all. You know, we're all, you know, we're our own worst enemy, and we lament over all of the bad things that are happening, and we have been the creator of every one of them. There's a verse that I'm trying to think of right now to say that very same thing. I'm just going to see if I can find it quickly. But Phil has a great talent for writing, and I'm glad that he continues to write for you, and we get to hear him now. And so the quote that I was thinking with regard to what he's saying and what, you know, what we've become of, in the world is, it was referring to this Civil War. They call this war a cloud over the land, but they made the weather, and then they stand in the rain and say, shit, it's raining. I think that's a brilliant quote. And you know, we are the undoers of the good things that we've been given. So, yeah, great job, Phil.
Awesome comment. Before I get another one, let's say hi to my little sis. Hey, Crystal.
Hi.
Hi, Crystal.
I'm thrilled that you got sent home early. I'm glad you called.
I know.
It's like, woohoo.
Hello there, Crystal.
Hi.
So you didn't call in time to hear the poem, did you?
I did not, know.
I didn't think so. Just wanted to double check and make sure. Frank, will you please come, Phil, while I get your poem?
Oh, of course. I too appreciate Phil. I've gotten to know him somewhat in this these last few months here, and he's very much appreciative of my poetry, and I'm very much appreciative of his poetry. I like the imagery here and his piece here. First of all, I thought it was superb usage of metaphors in the word bank as well. I thought it was dark and somber. The lines here, it almost had a haunting nature, which was fairly evident here. But I just loved the way that, I did see the photo, the prompt there very briefly, so I wasn't able to go back and forth and see it. So the images that are in my mind are more evoked of his poetry than the prompt itself. But I just enjoy this piece here, and I agree with Lady A. There's a message here to this piece, and that last line, the last stanza there that refers to man's doomed soul, it's very palpable, very tangible, and it's one foreboding. And I do appreciate poetry like this, and Phil does at times just give us this remarkable sense of a moral to his piece there. So I thought it was a fantastic write.
Awesome comment. And before you start reading, let me let my sweet in. Sweet.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello.
So glad you're here.
How is everybody?
And you're just in time to hear Frank read. I'm really glad you're here. So sit back and chill for a moment.
There.
Frank's going to take us away.
Hello there. Hello there, sweet. This is a piece I wrote for the prompt. It's called The Cursed Tree, and it goes like this. Within the farthest corner of the unknown world, there is a lone island hidden by an eldritch mist, where the eucalyptus and the redwood stood, reduced to the snake bit venom of lethal vipers. Chocolate and honeydew once were vast in the area, amidst the turquoise sea, now dried in hoary ashes, where a thousand bones of ghostly doom remain over the pervading facade of the onyx shade of gloom. The lilacs and jasmines that covered the gardens all evaporated then to the trespassing winds. Lost articles of secret treasures are strewn around the edges of a condemned being. The cursed tree of a hollow man is seen, with the daunting tattoos of a piercing ink drawn upon a sod of branches sprouted from its body, from the spiraling roots of the tree of death. From his mouth, a cherry rose blossoms, a haunting token of the beauty of his soul, lingering in his trapped imprisonment beard, for the ravens looking over his watchers. It's the terror of knowing what is the world about.
That's such a bummer that Linda had to hang up. She missed it. She always gets so excited when you do your laughter at the end. I feel bad that she's not feeling well. But okay. All right, back to the poem, though. The Cursed Tree. Great title. Within the farthest corners of the unknown world, there is a lone island hidden in the eldritch mist, where the eucalyptus and redwood stood, reduced to the snake bite venom of lethal vipers. You're another one, Frank, who could turn around and just show up with an amazing stanza like that one, and it would be enough because it pretty much brings the picture to life on its own. But then you keep on going, like, I think I'll go to the third one. The lilac and jasmines that covered the gardens all evaporated into the trespassing winds. I love that expression. I don't know why, trespassing winds. Because, like, you don't have any choice. You can't keep them out. So it's perfect. But I would have never thought of it. So that the trespassing winds is one of those phrases that I'm jealous that I never thought of. And the hollow man is seen with the daunting tattoos of a piercing ink drawn. I mean, really excellent use of your word bank, of the color, of the feels, of the terror of knowing what this world is about, which is, anyone who doesn't realize it, that's his song lyric. But it's a perfect way to end this poem. It couldn't be more perfect than to put that there. Man, I think that you did an excellent job with this, Frank. And you know what else I think is cool? That you no longer feel the need to write out the ha-ha-ha. You just dazzle us with it at the end. That's a nice touch because it's more
figured.
Like...
I was wondering there. I wanted to keep
scroll
your
down the
sentence,
if it's going to be one that ends with laughter, and it wasn't there, and then you brought it. So it's like a little extra surprise at the end, too. I think that you did a brilliant job with the deep, dark details here. Very impressive, as always.
Right. I appreciate it, dear. Thank you very much.
Let me start with Crystal, please.
Yeah, I don't get to hear that laugh that as much as I would like to, but I love it every time I do hear it at the end of a poem. But the thing is that I love about this piece, one, I'm with Deb too, I love the title, but also is I love how you start out every single stanza. Like, you are describing the imagery, like, so perfectly every time, like the chocolate and honeydew. Then you talk about the lilac and jasmine. Or things like that. Like, each time you are just describing these different things surrounding this cursed tree. But also, it's almost like darkness with elegance, almost. Like, it's like a beautiful kind of darkness, because it seems like you have, like, all these beautiful aspects to it, and then suddenly... Like you're even adding like the rose blossoms, but then you go a haunting token of the beauty of his soul, like literally it drained the beauty out. And I think that is just like incredible. Yeah, this is, like I said, it has like that haunting feel, but then yet it's beautiful at the same time. Didn't get there, but somehow you did it, and you did an awesome job, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that, my dear. Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. And how about you, sweet?
Well, I think it's a wicked, wicked little tale. I mean, trees live so very long, and you just drag out his painfulness and his horror and his sadness and just every ounce of just wickedness you could possibly do and extend it over all of these years. I mean, it's just excellent imagery and storytelling. You just bring that point home. It just constant through imagery over every line. I thought it was just very well done.
I appreciate that, my dear. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Lady A, please.
Yes. Well, like I sometimes feel like a broken record when I say what I feel about certain poets' writing, and Frank, you're one that, you know, you have your own flair and your own style, and it's always been attractive, and this one here I felt was very well written, a wonderful little story. I think that there were descriptions in here that were quite fanciful and almost like mystic. The cursed tree of a hollow man is seen with the daunting tattoos of a piercing ink drawn upon a sod of branches sprouted from his body from the spiraling roots of the tree of death. Very dark and scary, but still at the same time, it's beautifully written. And I liked also, from his mouth, a cherry rose blossoms, a haunting token of the beauty of his soul, lingering in his trapped imprisonment, feared before the ravens looking over him as watchers. It's the terror of knowing what the world is about. I thought that was just brilliant. It was a really terrific write. And you know, you have, only you can write this way. And that's what's beautiful about all the writers, is that we have our own distinct style of writing, and that's what makes it unique and special.
I thank you very much, my dear. I appreciate that. I believe I'm going to have to run now, Deb. Just going to stop over there with Stephen and Kay for a little bit before I call in the night. Just want to say thank you for having me on the show, as always.
Thank you for showing up and dazzling us. We appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate that. Always my pleasure. Take care, my friends. Whenever.
Good night, Frank.
See you over there later. Okay.
Okay, take care.
Night. Okay, if you guys want to click on Gerald's poem, I will push his recording. And here we go.
Dionysus, written and read by Gerald Green. Scarlet stakes were standing where the fence would be, along the outside borders of 8th Lane, Interstate 90. City houses, now torn down and granite basements filled with dirt, prepared a channel for speedy commuting to a flourishing urban desert. The last establishment sacrificed was a well-known diner called Dinies, famous for its car hops, with amethyst umbrellas serving on roller skates with speed and ease. People came in waves, and lines were long, and the diner made a mint before the end. I joined the fun in my antique car and said goodbye with one more visit before leaving my friend. It's now a highway and a concrete bridge where Dinies stood for many years. So when I drove through Cleveland yesterday, it resurrected memories and blurry tears. End poem.
Wow. I almost don't know what to say. There's a, wow. It feels like a memory. I'm going towards the end, though. People came in waves, and the lines were long, and the diner made a mint before the end. I joined the fun in my antique car and said goodbye with one more visit before leaving my friend. It's now a highway and a concrete bridge where Denny stood for many years. So when I drove through Cleveland yesterday, it resurrected memories and a flurry of tears. And it made me think of the times where you go someplace that you hadn't been in a while, and you're blown away by what's there now, but even more blown away by what's not there anymore. And often it is a restaurant, like one that used to be in, say, a circle, and now they've turned it into bypasses, and the circle's not there anymore, and the diner couldn't make it without the, you know what I mean? So it's just like the nostalgia mixed with the loss of that place that held so many memories, the sadness and emotion blows me away. And ending it with the blurry tears was like such a mega tug on the heartstrings. I think that this is so such a sentimental write, and I'm so glad I picked this one for him. And I have to wonder, Gerald, I know you'll answer me when you listen to this. Did you really have that antique car? If so, what? I'm curious. I think that you really did awesome. I was trying to see, did you mention what the car was? But, you know, and you specifically said that you drove through Cleveland yesterday and it resurrected the memories. So that makes me wonder if you lived in Ohio. So, like, so many questions at this point.
Yeah.
So really, really amazing piece, as always. I'm very appreciative of the sound clips that you always send. Just keep them coming because you always, always, always make us glad that you sent it. Excellent job. Let me get you some comments. Let me start with Lady Ape.
Yikes, are you there?
Are you there?
Yeah.
What
happened?
I don't know.
Did you hear all that?
Did you not hear my comment? Did I something happen?
Yeah, we heard you.
Yeah, I'm kind of static.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what the heck that was. It must, I don't know. It seems like we're all okay, though. Late comment for Gerald?
Yeah, I thought this was really a great bit of nostalgia. I remember when I first moved to New Brunswick, A&W was the restaurant to go to. It was the drive-in restaurant where you go and they put the thing on your, you know, the tray on your window and you'd eat in the car. Like, that was like, woohoo, we're eating in the car, you know. We very rarely as kids got to eat out anywhere because we were poor, but that was a big treat to do that. This poem reminded me very much of that time, because it was a time in, that was seemed to be a simpler time of life, and it also reminded me of the John Mellencamp song Cherry Bomb, which says it all as well. But this piece reminded me of that era, and where, you know, when you get to hold hands with your boyfriend, it was like, oh boy, you know, like, and now they're, you know, they're indulging in all kinds of things at 13 years old, but it was a simpler time when things were treasured more, I think, and it could just be my own little imagination that's going on like that. But I thought this was a really great poem that brought back some good memories when I was quite young, and it was a fun piece too, and very nostalgic. Very much liked it.
Awesome comment. How about you, Crystal?
Yeah, I kind of had that same feeling, and I kind of wrote it in my comment, too, that this kind of made me think of the – I grew up in a really small town in Pennsylvania as a child, and my sister went and visited it, I think, a couple of years ago, and I already knew that nothing was the same, but then she was telling me everything that was different, and even though I wasn't actually there – it still saddened me. I knew things are going to change, but I don't know. It's like even if you know something's going to change, it can still sadden you when you see it. And I think that's kind of what Gerald was bringing up here. Like, he knew that restaurant wasn't going to be there forever, but it's sad that now all it is just a highway. And that is the truth, too, especially with small towns. They just kind of get bypassed sometimes, and so especially like little restaurants here and there, and yeah, I would say especially restaurants really do. They go out of business, and then after that, they just become a highway, or just a lot of the times an empty building will just stay there forever, and it's really sad because I really like a lot of like small little diners or businesses or things like that, and I wish that they existed more than they do. But I know it's hard with people trying to maintain a place as well. But, no, I literally, like, my heart was, like, really moved with this one, especially with hearing his voice saying it, too, because it seemed like it was kind of very personal for him. But I really enjoyed it. And I felt like he took us there almost to this diner and stuff like that. And we were in his antique car. Like, it's a wonderful poem.
Awesome comment. And how about you, my sweet?
Well, there is something very odd between Mr. Green and I. At one point in our lives, actually lived in the same town. He actually went to court and testified against one of my friends. Well, not one of my friends, an acquaintance I had, for having a really, really bad teenage party when I was in high school. I did not know him at the time. And now he's talking about a nostalgia, and he says, so when I drove through Cleveland yesterday, it resurrected memories and blurry tears. So I am sitting tonight in Cleveland talking about a lot of old memories with my father, and I've cried more than one tear tonight. So he just brought all kinds of stuff back. And I was like, quite apropos, Mr. Green. It's a very beautiful, beautiful poem.
Wow. Talk about timing.
Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, let me see here. I'm going to try to keep this rolling on because we've got quite a few left. So if you click on Laughing Soul, I'm going to read for her. And this piece is called Mystical Serenade by Laughing Soul. And here we go. Oh, when I see darkness bask in sun, fragrant hyacinths bathe the morning lawn, I hear a whisper on gossamer wings. For my sake, turn again to life and smile, is what to me nature sings. Oh, when I watch the blackberry rocks aglow with sanctity and pumpkin locks, I hear a song traveling from afar. Believe you're an opal and shine your light, is what to me whispers the golden star. Oh, when my heart's enveloped with dismay, my thoughts ebony wander astray. Chimes of poem written in mystical hues, the morning sun is rising, it's kissing the day. It shall becomes me the poetic muse. Wow, that's beautiful. And she also put hers, the morning sun is rising, it's kissing the day. It was her song lyric by Journey. And I think it fits perfectly right where she put it. I like that each one starts with, oh, when I see, or oh, when I watch, or oh, when my heart's enveloped with dismay. But no matter what, you can look to the light and feel better. And now it becomes my poetic muse. I think that the imagery here is gorgeous, the feelings that it brings out, the message of the hope that she was getting just from the sun and the nature around her and the voice on the wind. So this is absolutely beautiful, and I was totally honored to read it for her. Thank you so much for sending it, Laughing Soul. Let me get you some comments. I think our lady is going to, I'm going to wait because she's reading next. How about Crystal, please?
Yeah, I love this. And I love how she did that, the chimes of poem written in mystical hues. I love that line. And then she captured it with the morning sun is rising, is kissing the day. This does make me think of the Journey song, but it also kind of makes me think of the Beatles song, Here Comes the Sun, because it has like that kind of hopeful feeling to it as well. It's kind of like you look up at the sun and suddenly it just gives you a ray of light, a ray of hope that you didn't know was there. And I just love the way that she captured that. Like, this poem is just really, really beautiful. I love the blackberry rocks too. I like the how that came together as well.
Great comment. And how about you, sweet?
Oh, I first off, I really love some of the great stuff that Laughing Soul's been coming out with. And I think it's just beautiful verbiage. When my heart's enveloped with dismay, my thoughts ebony wander astray. Chime is a poem written in mystical hues. I really like those three lines. Especially Chime is a poem written in mystical hues. I think that's just beautiful. I'm really enjoying Laughing Soul a lot lately. Very, very good job.
Beautiful comment. And Lady A, will you comment and then read your poem for us?
Sure. Hang on a second. I've lost it already. Oh, there it is. Sorry. Yes, I thought it was really quite beautiful, and I love the picture that she's used here. And, of course, because the nature of the picture, I'm drawn to it in anyways. And the colors that she's picked, you know, blackberry rocks and satiny pumpkin locks. I thought that, you know, I hear a song traveling from afar, which I liked how she included the song line, "Believe you're an opal and a shine and shine your light." I think it's a good thing to have something like what she says here, "Oh, when my heart's enveloped with dismay, my thoughts ebony wander astray," and "chimes a poem written in mystical hues. The morning sun is rising, it's kissing the day." And it becomes her muse. And I think that that's something we all have to hang on to, because if we don't, we just lose our minds. But I thought this was a lovely poem. It was beautifully written, and it did sing like a song, too. Very nice.
Awesome comment. And yours, oh, it looks like it might have got buried. Did are you guys already clicked on Lady A's, or should I put it back up?
I'm not, but I pretty sure can find it.
Let me just put it right there. Okay. There you go.
When you guys are ready, let me know. This I had a completely anyways, I wrote, it's called Poison. And my song phrase is, "The world was on fire and no one could save me but you," by Chris Isaak. And here it goes. It starts out with that verse, with that line. "The world was on fire and no one could save me but you. My world has expired. I have done all that I could do. Orange, red flames lick the skies while falling stars create an abyss. Straddles her steed as she ponders the damage she sees. Lipstick is smeared as she drinks the poisonous cream. Lies that defy love, and they believe. She gambles, and they win. If screams could be seen, a tsunami would rise up from the sea. If pain could be heard, thunder would split my heart in two. The world was on fire, and no one could save me but you. Time has gone by and nothing has changed between me and you. If sorrow could bleed, I'd hemorrhage all over you. If tears could speak, I'd tell you how much I love you. Anger collides with joy that is long gone from you. I want to cry, but rage now ingrained toward you. Destructive force has destroyed all of us too. Fiery pit swallows the world, but I sit on my steed and ride through." End poem.
Wow. Well, for one thing, starting with that was really quite brilliant, because it sets the tone. And then orange, red flames lick the skies while falling stars create an abyss. Wow, the visuals there are like mind-blowing. And then you repeat them,
In the third stanza, the world was on fire and no one could save me but you, and time has gone by and nothing has changed between me and you. If sorrow could bleed, I'd hemorrhage all over you. If tears could speak, I'd tell you how much I love you. Just that third stanza there is like, it makes me want to cry. And then at the end, the last two lines, destructive force has destroyed all of us too. A fiery pit swallows the world, but I sit on my steed and ride through. So even through all of that, you're still on the horse and you're still riding. So it ends with some hope, but the rest of the visuals are so powerfully heartbroken, powerfully, I wish it would change. I think you did amazing with this. Is this the same direction it took when you lost it, or did you wind up taking a new direction? Just curious.
No, it's the same direction. I tried to, I lost some of the, I had five verses that I lost it, but I was able to capture the essence of it back again. So, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know what it read like before, but it definitely is powerful and forces us to feel. So I'm glad you were able to pull it back out. Brilliant poetry.
Thank you.
What do you think, Sweet?
Well, I'll tell you what. This is a lost romance bleeding on the computer screen, waiting to be carried away by the corner. I mean, it's deep, it's haunting, it covers me in heartbreak and pain at the speed of honey in a Canadian winter storm. And you feel every word of it. It's fantastic.
Thanks very much, Sweet.
Awesome comment. And Crystal, can you comment for Lady A and then read yours for us?
Yeah. I love just how you start a lot of the stanzas with if, because it almost makes it out like if everything was a what if, because it was like you're saying it's poison. It's almost like an uncertainty of the poison. It's like if it was this way or if it was that way, it's like but you've already done poisoned me. So I like that you start that. I think of all the lines I like the most is how when you first start, if screams could be seen, a tsunami would rise up from the sea. If pain could be heard, thunder would split my heart in two. I love just how you do that, like especially the tsunami, that if screams could be seen. And that to me is very, very powerful. This whole piece is. The other one too is that the one about tears, that if tears could speak, I'd tell you how much I love you. That to me is really beautiful as well. But sometimes I think that tears, they do speak like louder than anyone thinks. But yeah, I think that this is just really beautiful, and I'm with Sweet. It definitely can cover you in pain and heartbreak reading it. You did a great job, Lady A.
Thank you so much. Much appreciated.
All right, let me grab mine. We just went from, like, really dark and... I mean, I don't know if mine's, like, not entirely not dark. I can't write dark recently. I think there's something wrong with me. I'm back to not being able to write dark.
Nah.
All right, this is called Stomach Full of Butterflies, Falling in Love Again. And here we go. Knots twisted together like a pretzel. Her irises blink rapidly and dilate. Goldenrod sunshine glows on his face, and it feels like fate. Coffee grains of dirt stain their feet as the mossy winds brush her ankles. Lime grasses tickled the butterfly wings, and her face shines like a candle. Clouds blanketed to blind measures of broken mirror pieces in the grass. Crossroads forged to decisions of the love they forgot in the past. Morning dew emerges to their faces once again of a memory she can't remember when. Wings cocooned, wrapped, and shuttered, but those butterflies in the stomach fluttered. End poem.
I know that we say this a lot, but it doesn't make it any less true. You are getting so good at brevity. And this one, you know, okay, it's four stanzas, but they're tight stanzas. But the feeling still comes through just as strong. We're knots twisted together like a pretzel. Her irises blink rapidly and dilate. Goldenrod sunshine glows on his face, and it feels like fate. That's gorgeous. And in the third stanza, clouds blanketed to blind measures of broken mirror pieces in the grass. Crossroads forged to decisions of the love they forgot in the past. And there's a sadness in that part. So it's like one of the forgotten in the past. Forgotten love is such a sad thought. But then we get to the end, and I'm going to leave some lines, I promise, but the last one, but those butterflies in the stomach fluttered. And it brings it back again full circle. Like, you know, there's love and pain and ups and downs, but there's hope because those butterflies are still fluttering. I think you did an awesome job with this, Crystal. Like I said, the power of your brevity pen is amazing. And you have to be, I'm sure you're sick of hearing us say this, but you write like someone who's two or three times your age, and knowing that you're so young but so wise and so gifted makes me jealous. Excellent poem.
Thank you, Deb.
Lady A, what did you think?
Well, she's my wise crystal, and I think she proves it every time she writes, and this is just one more of her wise beyond her years pens, and I appreciate your writing very much, Crystal. You have been lots of times an inspiration to me, and I'm sure to others, with how you write and the honesty with which you write. It was great.
Thank you, Lady A.
Awesome comment. And my sweet?
Well, I got to tell you, first off, I love the song you wrote to, Private Eyes by Hall & Oates. And I think you did their song total justice. I love clouds blanketed to blind measures, broken mere pieces in the grass, crossroads forged to decisions of the love they forgot in the past. I just love that imagery. Broken your pieces. Love they forgot in the past. Because, man, that happens, I think, every relationship, that there's something that you got to forget. Because if you look too far back, man, all you're going to see is that cracked mirror. That's why you don't look behind, I guess. And I just find this beautiful. And I love the first line of your poem, too, knots twisted together like a pretzel, because that just draws you in, just like, what's not twisted like a pretzel? And then this beautiful poem follows, just a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Thank you, sweet.
Awesome comments, awesome poem. And it's just down to the three of us ladies. So I have a question. Sweet, did you have a poem, my dear?
Yeah, I put it on your board.
Deleted. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I did.
Oh, she put it on the next week's. I see it.
Oh, did I put it on next week's? Okay, sorry.
Oh, okay. No, it's all good. I had looked and looked, and there wasn't anything there, so I went ahead and deleted the topic.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, you know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We have
two and yours, and I would love it if you put yours right on the chat wall and read for us. Oh, Crystal has already put it up for you. So if you would dab it, that would be great.
Not a problem. I will do that. I was going to say, yeah, of course I do. Not that I don't just love to hang out with you, but that I love my prompt. So, you know. I had her in my head this way from the minute I saw her. So, here we go.
It is a gorgeous photo. Take us away.
Blackberry ocean waves tumble and play in a kaleidoscope gaze. Twist sunset skies to dye in plum color shades. A full titanium moon howls into view. Wicked wind swirls twisters of pulverized bone into dust devil storms over the islands. Clusters of yellow and green cluster between the foaming green mixture rising from the bottom of periwinkle pristine seas and a violent thrashing ocean. As lava spank the cool mist of waters, a suck on a 10-inch Ted Nugent sound went down into the depths of the abyss to rebound into a pair of sapphire eyes. Waterlogged stairs come crashing from red eyes, and flames burst in bloody waves as a dragon rose from the ocean floor to claw at Luna's smile. In the eye of the storm, she stood with the grace. She rose from her aqua home. Her eyes sparkled as she spit out the last of the fish bones from her teeth. After all, even dragons like fresh meat.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. You always mesmerize with your voice. And it sets a tone. And then you take us on a journey. And there's starts right off with gorgeous blackberry ocean waves tumble and play in a kaleidoscope gaze. That's so gorgeous. Let me see here. As lava spanked the cool mist of waters, a suck on 10-inch Ted Nugent sound went down into the depths of the abyss to rebound into a pair of sapphire eyes. That just struck me so funny. I mean, good old Ted Nugent. I think, who's in my head now? Aerosmith. I don't know. There must.
Oh, yeah.
I look now and see. Yeah, because they have that 10-inch. Anyway, the second to the last stanza, waterlogged stairs came crashing from red eyes, and flames burst in bloody waves as a dragon rose from the ocean floor to claw at Luna's smile. I was like, oh my goodness! It was like. So vivid and so descriptive and so unexpected when the dragon came. It's just like, my goodness. And then towards the end, as she spit out the last of the fish bones from her teeth, after all, even dragons like fresh meat, I was like, whoa. Brilliance. You take these beautiful images, twist them into this rising dragon that picks the bones from her teeth. I mean, this is really another example of your brilliance, another example why you've won a crown as title of the Queen with Darkness, because, like, just the vivid imagery of the waterlogged stairs that came crashing from red eyes was, like, scary. So between the hauntingness of your voice, lulling us in with that soft sexiness, and then you get this dragon that's picking. It's like the contrast is always overwhelming. I often wonder if you realize how brilliant you are. I'll just have to keep telling you.
I just saw her as a dragon when I first saw her. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it, it, I never would have expected it to have anything to do with dragons, but it fits. You did an amazing job, like you always do. Excellent, excellent piece. Now, let me get you some comments, and then we'll do these last two poems. Crystal, let's start with you. Wow.
Yeah, I love it that you just start us out with this beautiful imagery of just like, which I love this part too, of the blackberry ocean and the kaleidoscope gaze. Like, it just starts out with these beautiful, beautiful colors, like in your first and even into the second stanza. And it's like, oh, we're starting out this beautiful journey of, oh, look at the ocean and the beautiful moon and everything like that. And then we just go down and go farther down and farther down, and then it just gets darker and darker and darker and darker, especially at the end of, like, you know, dragons like fresh meat too. And it's just like, that's how you end it. And I just love that you went that way, because that is like total sweet. Like, it just went like, it's like beautiful imagery, then down to darkness. Like, we got to get there eventually. But yeah, I did love that first stanza though. Again, with, I love it what Laughing Soul did with the blackberry rocks, and then you did it with the blackberry ocean. Like, this blackberry thing, I'm just like into, because I love how y'all are putting it together. And then I just got this beautiful colors in my mind, because now I'm just imagining those blackberry rocks and then the blackberry seed just kind of like crashing against them and stuff like that. But yeah, this is really incredible, sweet. It is. I'm going to agree with Deb, you are brilliant.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Thank you very
Aww.
Much. I'm humbled.
I love it when people agree with me, too. Okay. And Lady A, I'm going to have you read the next poem. So will you comment for Sweet first?
Sure. Yeah, I have to say that, you know, your voice is mesmerizing when you read. It always has been. But also, you know, I liked what Crystal said, you know, like it was started out in a certain fashion, and then it got darker and darker and darker, and the next thing you know, you were in enveloped in the meat department and fishbone sticking out of your face. So it was really, really good. And I liked how you took it from it was like she came out and became the dragon, and I liked that part. That's the, and I like the mentioning of Ted Nugent too, and it just was really great. A great colors, you know. You go from sapphire eyes to red eyes, and then you have Luna's smile. It was a very, very vivid and extremely dark toward the end and at the end, and you always have such a kind of story. Well, I read this and I'm like almost holding my breath as I read through with you, and that's a good thing because you're on the edge of your seat. So, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome, awesome comment. And you ladies rock for hanging out over time. We have this one and one other. So, Lady A, would you read this one, please?
Yes, and this is a poem by, I'm going to find my page again, by Roy, KBMW, and this is called A Warrior Woolen Wolf. Blossoming goldenrod topaz meadow, sheltered broken emeralds, marigold dandelion fly as higher, the rower rose, lightning hails. Chocolate sands and honeysuckle petals curve the wings beyond rains, scoop out terracotta's butterscotch, exhale the winds of afraid. Serve a drink of coconut mocha, hike the mountain of wildflowers, wear warrior's woolen wolf, take your passion and make it happen. End poem.
Well,
great read, thank you. I love the title, Warrior Woolen Wolf.
It's a tongue twister there. And it starts out blossoming goldenrod, topaz meadow, sheltered broken emeralds. Just those first two lines, the images there are like, wow. I can just picture the glittering of the emeralds, and being broken, they would catch the light from all over the place. So you can just picture the sparkle there. And it fits with the picture because there's a sparkle in the background in the sky. And she put that down in her author's notes. And with a, scoop out terracotta's butterscotch and exhale the winds. That is awesome. I would love to scoop out the butterscotch. Yum. So it was like, it sounded, the sights and sounds and scents are all packed into this brevity, and it's got stunning images. And if you really think about it, between the crayons and the word bank, she has a tendency to paint these scenes by just adding a few extra words. And this is like one of those where I can see it. I can almost taste the butterscotch. Makes me want a Werther's. And like I can smell the honeysuckle and the chocolate. So I think that this is a gourmet meal in a landscape. And I think that it was an excellent approach to the prompt. And the visuals are stunning. And you read it beautifully. I appreciate the read. Will you comment for her as well?
I think that she has English is not her first language, and I think she does very, very well in conveying her thoughts in poetry. I think also this is a bit different than what she usually writes in that it's a little more, what is the word I'm looking for? Abstract. I don't know if you felt that yourself, but I did feel it was a little more abstract than normal that she usually writes. But I liked it. I thought it was colorful. And she had some gemstones in there and the other colors that were included in it. I think she did a really good job with that. And take your passion and make it happen.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Sweet?
I kind of agree with both you and Lady A. You'll have to excuse me. I am got try not to choke. But yeah, I definitely agree with the both of you. And I actually like the style of the poem too. It's got the really great, beautiful imagery in it. And I'm pretty good with abstract poetry though. And I kind of like. Oh, I'm sorry. I got a call. I'll leave her a comment.
Get some water. Crystal, will you comment for Roy? And then I was wondering if you would mind reading for Irish Rose.
I can do that. I would say it is a bit different from for her as well. But I am just blown away by the imagery, though. I really love the chocolate sands, though, and the honeysuckle petals, and then curve the wings beyond rains. And then even, that whole scoop the terracotta butterscotch, like all of this imagery is just gorgeous. But it does make me think of what a feeling, but it also, because like I feel like I have a mixture of what a feeling, but I also have a mixture of Colors of the Wind from Pocahontas, because I feel like all of the colors in there, like there's just like this breath of fresh air almost from this poem. Like you feel like you're out in those fields embracing all those colors, like, and just dancing around or something like that, like you have life in you. And I love it that she ends the line too of take your passion and make it happen, because I feel like it is just a breath of fresh air is what the poem is. But yeah, I think it's just a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Awesome comment. Yeah, it did fit well with the song lyric. I like that she put it in too. All right, great comments, everyone. And this is the last poem of the night, and then we'll do our announcements and get out of here. So, Crystal, if you don't mind.
Okay. This is Deep Dark Night by Irish Rose. I'm just a small town girl living in a lonely cobalt world. On a blackberry shrouded night, glittering stars, small points of pearl. Shine tiny topaz dotted lights through hooded mists of silence, illuminating a shadow in the deep dark night, littering the black velvet ebony sky. End poem.
Great read, thank you. I really think that the deep dark night sets the tone there, and then we take it in, and we've got like just a few lines, but the visuals, like on blackberry shrouded night, glittering stars, small points of pearl shine in tiny topaz dotted lights. So she's another one who took the prompt words and stuff, and we got 2, 3, 5 lines, but yet she put them in there, so you still wouldn't think, she just threw all the World Bank words together, because that's not the case. There's the entire visual perfectly fits the picture, illuminating a shadow in the deep, dark night, which brings us back to the title. And black velvet ebony sky is gorgeous. So I think that this came out excellent. And just a small town girl. Wait a minute, where did that go? I know I saw. Yeah, just a small town girl living in a lonely world. I like that that's incorporated as well. I think that she did a great job with this. I know you were going to try to call Rose. It's it would have been nice to hear you read. But I think Crystal did a beautiful job reading for you. I appreciate the poem very much, and let me get you some comments. Crystal, you read. You want to comment first?
Sure. Yeah, I first saw that. I immediately, as soon as I started reading those first part of those lines, I was about to go, I'm just a small town girl living in a lonely world. Like, I just wanted to sing it. And but yeah, I love it that she started it out that way. But yeah, I also love that there it is again with that blackberry. I have done Blackberry Night before, but I don't know what it is about. I know it's one of the words for all the word banks and stuff, but I really just love seeing all the blackberry bits of description. But yeah, I love the topaz and everything. And just like the bit of silence and in the shadows and stuff, like it has like that, even though this is like only just a very few lines, I know what you mean, where she just captured this deep, dark night and stuff like that. Like you can just sense it. Like I feel like even if it's just a few lines, I feel like I'm in that scene. Like she made just this perfect picture of a blackberry midnight night sky and stuff like that, and there's barely any stars around, but there's just a few, and there's a bit of silence that gives you like an eerie kind of feeling. But yeah, I felt like this could start out for a story in some way or another, like maybe like a ghost story or something like that. Like I feel like this could start out to a ghost story. I don't know why that just comes to mind, but I think she did an excellent job.
Awesome comment. Thank you, Crystal. Lady A?
She said her phone died.
I was going to say, yeah, she was having power issues. Okay. Sweet, will you comment for Rose, please? You're muted.
I am muted. I was going to say I agreed with Crystal. It's, you know, just these few lines create such a powerful essence that becomes a powerful poem. because you're just like right there with her, just in those few lines, like, I'm in the scene. It's beautifully done.
Great comment. Appreciate it. And now, let's see. How about the announcement? Okay. There's a lot of stuff going on at the moment, and I hate to keep getting sidetracked, but before I, you know, do the rest, I just want to shout out again like I did at the beginning. Hatter and AP, you're in my thoughts, and this too will pass. I just hope everything works out for both of you. We'll talk soon. And there's been some stuff going on, and I, as the producer, dropped the ball, and tomorrow's show that I'm not even going to bring up won't be happening. We will take the night off and do the topic we were going to do some justice at another time. But I would be curious to know if Sweet has any idea what might be happening on Thursday.
Yeah, I came home. So we're going to do a Follow the Yellow Brick Road. We're going to do some Wizard of Oz stuff.
Oh, sounds fun. Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope the Wizard of Oz is up for participating.
I'm hoping.
That would be cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then on Friday night, it's A Soft Place to Fall with Lady A. And this is what she wrote. Are you going through a painful time right now in your life? Do you feel like no one's listening? What are you doing to ease the pain? If you've had the pain but have overcome it, how did you get through it? So pen her a poem telling her your story. Be an open book. There's a freedom and catharsis in sharing, followed by healing. Transparency, honesty, and being real will not only help you, but others as well. So that's Friday night. And Saturday, if the two guys come out of this situation that each are in, we'll be doing Rain. If not, you know, real life always comes first, so we'll play it minute by minute. Just please keep them both in your thoughts. I want to thank Lady A for hanging out the whole show and sitting in Hatter's chair since he couldn't. And I want to thank Hatter because he did make a quick hit and run, even though I could tell by his voice why he wasn't going to be able to stay. And thank you to Stephen and to Kay and to David and to Wayne and to Linda and to Frank and to Sky and to Crystal and to Sweet. And I want to thank Phil and Titus and Gerald for sending in their recordings. I want to thank Rose and Roy and Laughing Soul for sending in their poetry. We are honored to read for you. Great shares, everyone. I can't tell you enough what an honor it is for all of us hosts and hostesses to get to hang out with you and read your poetry night after night. Your participation is appreciated more than we can say. It takes us all to keep the shows going, and with the kind of brilliance that comes through here, it's not a wonder to me at all that we are now being listened to in, count them, 52 countries around the world. And
wow.
We've been here a little more, right? We've been here a little more than 2 years, and we started out with 5 countries. And in that space of time, we've grown to 52 countries of listeners. I think that's a fine accomplishment, and that the hosting team is phenomenal. I appreciate you all. We, the board and I, appreciate you all. And your brilliance and your creativity. And we've had hosts that come and go, and you know, we have none that there's not a single one that's gone that we wouldn't say, oh, sure, do another show. We grow. We have, you know, new people come. I just feel very blessed to be part of this experience with all of you. And as far as my board, I couldn't ask for more people, for better people to help me keep this going. I appreciate you. And, yeah. So the schedule is a little bit up in the air at the moment, but we're not going anywhere. We're just dealing with a lot. We love you all. And going to leave with the same song that we came in with, remembering that the song is celebrating 50 years on the radio, which is an amazing thing as itself, because it's just as poignant right now as it was 50 years ago when Marvin Gaye put the song out there. And sadly, all the things are what's going on in the song, are going on a lot in the world right now, but this too we will get past. So on that note, with love and respect, I give you Marvin Gaye.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right now.
Love and respect, everyone. Missed you, Hatter. Good night.